The administration has some heavyweight allies in the fight against improper payments. Senators Tom Carper and Tom Coburn, the chairman and ranking member respectively of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, want to give your agency more access to the Social Security Administration's master death file, and they want that file to include better, cleaner information. Senator Carper says this is just the latest collaboration with Senator Coburn on improper payments.
Dr. Coburn and I have been working these fingers on improper payments for a long time, and so going back, at least for me, back to almost 10 years when we worked on legislation that said the federal agencies had to at least identify improper payments. We said they had to do much more than that, just to identify them. And then in 2010, Dr. Coburn and I co-authored legislation that said not only federal agencies have to identify improper payments, they need to stop making them. And they need to go out and try to recover improper payments to the extent that they can. And we are going to evaluate and reward, if you will, federal managers that actually comply with the law. The work that we're doing this time focuses on improper payments to people who are deceased. And, you know, I guess it would be one thing if we have plenty of money in the Treasury, we wouldn't have to worry as much about this. We'd still worry about it. But when we're running a deficit, it's down. Deficit's down from about $1.4 trillion down to about $750 billion this year. But it's still a lot of money. And when our proper payments are running over $100 billion, still they're down, but they're still over $100 billion. This is a good place just to go to save some real money.
What are the problems that exist now in the Death Master file as it exists today, sir?
The Death Master file is maintained by the Social Security Administration, and they gather information from all different kinds of sources. They gather it from families, from whose loved ones have died. They gather information from state and local governments. They gather information from financial institutions, from the Postal Service, from funeral homes. But it's not a perfect file, but it's the best we have. And it can be a better maintained, for example, if federal agencies who have information about this, for example, the Department of Defense or maybe Veterans Administration, to the extent that they're feeding information, that would make the master, I call it the master death file. I don't know if I like to call it the death master. But anyway, this file, it could be better. So one of the things we want to do is improve death master file, make it even more accurate. Second, we want to make sure that the agencies, federal agencies, have access to it, not to some other slim down, incomplete, less timely version of the Death Master file, but actually to the real deal. So, number one, Social Security, you're going to have to make the Death Master file available to a broad range of federal agencies. Number two, we want to compel the agencies to use it. Number three, we want to improve the Death Master file, make it even better. And number four, we want to make sure that that we identify and share best practices within the federal government for identifying deceased recipients. And so those are the four things we're trying to do here.
What will be the carrot or the stick for agencies to actually use this file, though, once the improvements that this legislation calls for are in place?
Well, agencies are struggling right now with sequestration. There's plenty of trying to avoid furloughing people and trying to avoid having to cut back on programs that are critical. So there's every incentive to identify money that's being wasted. And it's hard to find a better example of money that's being wasted in sending payments to people that are dead. So there's plenty of incentive for agencies to do this.
This legislation, as you mentioned, introduced by both you and your ranking member, what's the timeline for this? Where do you see this going? Because when you come back in a couple of weeks, you've got a pretty full agenda ahead of you just on budget items.
We've introduced bipartisan legislation. A number of our colleagues, I think Senator McCaskill and Senator Tester, from Missouri, Montana, respectfully joined. I think there's broad support in our committee. We reported it out to the committee on a unanimous voice vote, no opposition. And so this is one of those pieces of legislation that you can, Dr. Poe and I can go to Senator Reid and Senator McConnell, Democratic leader, Republican leader, and say, look, who could be against this? Nobody's against this. And we passed improper payments legislation in 2000. Passed in additional legislation 2010 and 2012, and we're just on a roll. Sometimes my colleagues say to me, why do you keep working or passing improper payments legislation? I'd say it's like Willie Sutton. Willie Sutton, bank robber, they said, Willie Sutton, why do you rob banks? He said, that's where the money is. Well, there's over $100 billion of money being wasted in improper payments. And it's like Willie Sutton. This is where the money is. That's why we keep pounding on it.
Well, now, so where do you think the next bunch of money might be in improper payments that you and your colleagues can do something about, sir?
I'm not sure, but I know there's still about $100 billion out there, and we'll keep working on it. We'll find it and get as much of it back as we can.
So close and yet so far is appropriate to describe postal reform legislation. Senator Tom Carper, the chairman of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, is optimistic about getting a fix for the Postal Service's problems because Congress got close before.
We actually got pretty close at the end of last year. Joe Lieberman was our chairman. Susan Collins was a ranking Republican on the Homeland Security Government Affairs Committee. And Chairman Issa and Elijah Cummings last year never reported a bill on committee, a postal bill. But even though they didn't, we passed a bill with about 62 votes in the Senate bipartisan bill. And we negotiated with Senator Lieberman, Collins, myself, negotiated with Congressman Issa and Cummings and their staff. And got very... I use a football analogy. We got the ball in the red zone. And football, it means you got the ball inside the 20-yard line of the other team. We didn't get the ball in the end zone. If we'd done that, we'd have gotten a compromise and it would have been enacted. But we had a pretty good experience in negotiating with them. So Dr. Coble and I worked literally for 6 months with our staff to create bipartisan legislation for the Postal Service that will help modernize it, help right-size the Postal Service, and enable them to return to, if not to profitability, at least to be sustainable, and to not just find ways to save money, cut, but also to find ways to enable them to find ways to grow revenue. So it's a combination of both of those. We're going to have hearings on our legislation, our bipartisan legislation. We'll have two hearings in the month of September, and we'll get input. It's not a perfect bill. We know it can be improved, and we'll... There's a negotiations going on literally today, I believe, between the Postal Service and labor unions about how they can save some money and still provide good health care coverage for the employees that are represented by labor unions and other management associations. So there's a whole lot going on literally this week, this month. On the postal front, we want to be ready to go for our hearings in a couple of weeks. And if that goes well, my hope is that we'd be able to mark it up and report out a bipartisan bill out of committee sometime in the first half of October.
What else is on your agenda when you come back from the break, sir?
There's a lot going on. We're doing a lot of work sort of behind the scenes on cybersecurity, three committees in the Senate. That's your jurisdiction, the Intelligence Committee, the Commerce Committee, and Homeland Security and Government Affairs. There's a number of committees that open the House that have shared jurisdiction over cybersecurity. There's a lot going on behind the scenes on that front. Our committee working with the Department of Homeland Security, with other members, and there's a lot going on in terms of the other two relevant committees. And we're having a pretty good negotiation with and conversation with the folks in the House, with NSA, with the Department of Homeland Security, and I think we're laying the groundwork for what I hope will be successful and fruitful legislation later this year. My first priority is try to get the postal reform through the Senate and into a conference with the House. I'm encouraged we might just be able to do that. We need to. But while we're doing that, can we walk and chew gum at the same time? I think we can. So with the work in the postal front, we need to continue to work even harder on cybersecurity.
How has the whole Snowden incident affected the way that you and your colleagues are approaching the cybersecurity issue?
I think it's put a bigger spotlight on the privacy concerns that are felt by a lot of people, whether they happen to be very conservative folks or very liberal people, or just concerns about personal privacy. And so... As it turns out, there was within the Department of Homeland Security, we actually, when we created the department, we actually created a unit. There's an entity within the Department of Homeland Security that is focused on ensuring that we are mindful of privacy concerns. And I think that while people are, NSA does a great job, but they've overstepped in a couple of areas, and they are, I think the president's going to try to point out some ways that, that they can do their jobs better with while still being respectful of people's privacy and all. But Homeland Security, when it was created with an eye toward privacy and protection of people's personal data. And I think that will actually be helpful for us. And as Snowden stuff has come to a fore, people start to say, well, we actually have, we may still have some problems at the National Security Agency, but Homeland Security has actually thought about this and they have a pretty good idea how to address those concerns.
That's Senator Tom Carper. He is chairman of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. You can hear my entire two-part conversation with Senator Carper, and you can read more about his plan to cut improper payments at federal agencies at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.